from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, a psychotherapist I once knew told me that one mark of an adult personality, pardon me for bringing this up, in a country that seems to be teeming with adult personalities, one mark of an adult personality is the ability to contain two different conflicting emotions about the same thing or person and entertain them simultaneously. From New Orleans, Louisiana, where you can have, well, either the city is back or the city is on its back. Both are true. You can have a wonderful meal, see some wonderful music, or see utter desolation. It's totally your choice. By the way, I think that this is unspoken publicly so far. I think that I may be the first person to utter this publicly, certainly in the precincts of the French Quarter. One way to bring the city back quickly is the French Quarter has for years, maybe decades, been host to dozens of little groups of people being squired around the vicinity at night for so-called vampire tours or ghost tours, where people in vampire costumes with, shall we say, the gift of gab, tell them mainly apocryphal stories about weird and spooky stuff that has happened in the decorative buildings all around them. So I think the way to bring New Orleans back quickly and without any need for federal help is disaster tourism. Look, just look, look, there's more of it. Look, and it keeps going on, and there's where all the refrigerators went to die. I'm telling you, people will pay for that. So it's whatever you, and this is why, ladies and gentlemen, journalism sucks, is because you can't really go to your assignment editor and say, I want to do a story about New Orleans, and it's both things. It's coming back, and it's flat on its back. Because your editor will say, yeah, that's two stories or no story. So one has to come here, as I have, I'm happy to say, as one newly minted bumper sticker proclaims, "Proud New Orleans, proud to swim home," to see for myself. And that very dichotomy, or fear of that dichotomy, surfaced this week here in New Orleans as plans were, well, nothing is in concrete around here, but plans were marginally solidified for Mardi Gras 2006. And there was some debate about whether it should be 6 days or 8 days, and more generally, there was some debate about whether it should be held at all. Now, of course, that was one of the brave proclamations in the early days post-Katrina, or post the disasters, a lot of people say around here. Of course there's going to be Mardi Gras. There's got to be Mardi Gras. And now people were starting to come out this week and say, how can we hold Mardi Gras and just show folks partying here and be taken seriously when we say we still need aid? Because people can't process that the two things exist simultaneously. Yes, New Orleans can have Mardi Gras, and yes, New Orleans still needs big-time help. Not that it's going to come. You saw this week, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of being able to hold two emotions or thoughts about someone simultaneously, Mike Brown, held in some disrepute for his skills at managing a disaster, has started a disaster preparedness consulting firm. Quote, if I can help people focus on preparedness, how to be better prepared, then I hope I can help the country in some way, Brownie told the Rocky Mountain News. He says officials need to, quote, take inventory, quote, of what's going on in a disaster to be able to answer questions to avoid appearing unaware of how serious a situation is. That is, he's going to teach public officials how to appear to be aware of the seriousness of a situation. So that's, and see, around these parts, there's equal contempt now, not only for FEMA and its former head, Mike Brown, but for the Army Corps of Engineers, who, in case you haven't caught up with the preliminary forensic studies, screwed up in building the flood walls that ended up breaching and flooding New Orleans. Design and or construction flaws is the early verdict. But, you see, the Army Corps of Engineers can do something. According to today's New Orleans Times-Picayune, contractors have processed 131,925 thrown-out refrigerators for the Army Corps of Engineers as of this week. The figure is expected to reach 250,000 before the job is done. The Army Corps of Engineers, ladies and gentlemen, in charge of picking up all the abandoned refrigerators. Why, you might ask? It's one thing they can't screw up. Hello, welcome to the show.
Now is the time. Now is the time for all good men to get together with one another. Iron out their problems and iron out their quarrels and try to live as brothers. And try to find peace within without stepping on one another. And due respect to the women of the world, just remember we all had mothers.
Make this land a better land in the world in which we live.
And help each man be a better man with the kindness that you give. And I know we can make it. It out.
Yes, we can, I know we can, yes, we can, why can't we if we want it?
gosh almighty, yes we can, I know we can.
From the French Quarter of New Orleans, Louisiana, how I've waited to say that. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of Le Show. You know, during the disaster, there was a lot of talk about problems with communication. But you would think the one place in the world where there wouldn't be a problem with communication would be in Times Square, New York City. Hence, the quizzical nature of this story. During its live coverage of the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, NBC did not tell viewers that a giant balloon had caught on a street lamp and injured two sisters. Sisters, by the way, aged, what, 11 and 26? Sisters. Sisters! Sisters are doing it for themselves! At the point of the broadcast where the M&M's chocolate candies balloon was supposed to have crossed the finish line, Katie Couric, Matt Lauer, and Al Roker stuck to their scripts, and the network ran footage of the balloon from last year's parade. Well, if they're just running the same balloons every year, why not just run the whole tape? Forget about live. Forget about the live. What do you need the live? Only something bad can happen with the live. Couric did tell the audience they were seeing old footage. There was no further mention of the accident. Now, the explanation. An NBC spokeswoman said the producers knew something had happened with the balloon, but didn't know exactly what. They're in Times Square, New York City, and that's the state of NBC's information. They knew something had happened with the balloon, but didn't know exactly what. Could they call someone? Could they send someone out into the street? Quote, there was no further comment on air at that point in time because we did not have further information, says Cameron Blanchard, a spokeswoman for... Cameron. Let's name the girl Cameron, shall we? A spokeswoman for NBC's entertainment division, which was responsible for the parade broadcast. Thank God it wasn't the news division. That would have been embarrassing. Well, as soon as you find out, NBC, further, you'll let us know, I'm sure, because we're waiting to see how long it takes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. Britain, remember Britain, our ally? Britain has angered John Bolton. How long would that? Do you think that was going to take? America's combative ambassador to the United Nations by breaking ranks with him over the need for reform. He couldn't even keep Britain on our side. This is according to the conservative British newspaper The Telegraph. The rare public disagreement between the two close allies comes as the showdown over reforms at UN becomes increasingly acrimonious. Britain has rebuffed a Bolton move to join him in refusing to pass the budget for next year until member states approve wide-ranging management reforms. To the irritation of Bolton, many developing nations are bitterly opposed to the changes they claim are driven by American political pressure. He also threatened that the United States could seek an alternative to the UN for solving international problems in the future. Yeah, that's worked out well so far. That's a believable threat. We'll go to the... We'll use the... Britain strongly supports the reform package, but along with the other 24 European states, it is ruled out messing around with the budget. We're not in favor of holding any individual items or the budget hostage to other issues, says British Ambassador to the UN, Emmer Jones Parry. So, in just a few short months, John Bolton has picked a fight with Britain, let alone the rest of the world. Well, plenty of time for the rest of the world to get involved. And, ladies and gentlemen, we'll never talk to terrorists until we do. Dateline Karachi, despite deposing the Taliban regime at the end of 2001, the United States has not been able to rid the country of the Islamic hardliners. Now they lead an Afghan resistance that shows no signs of abating, according to the Asia Times. Now come efforts to deal directly with the real problem, Taliban leader Mullah Omar, the only person with the ability to influence decisions of importance related to the Taliban and their future activities. Reports emerged in the Pakistani media last weekend that the United States had contacted the Taliban leadership with the aim of establishing a truce in Afghanistan. The reported link is a Pakistani who denies the story, saying he's never met any U.S. officials, only U.S. businessmen. Oh, okay, you're off the hook, babe. There's more to the story, though, according to Asia Times. In fact, the latest peace initiative was started a few months ago when the United States realized that it simply was not making significant progress in stabilizing Afghanistan. The momentum, says the Asian Times, for finding a strategy that would allow for an honorable exit is becoming irresistible. So, we won't talk to terrorists, ladies and gentlemen, until we talk to terrorists. You might want to make a t-shirt of that. Jose Padilla, or Padilla, as he apparently insists on being called. That's why we held him in the brig for 3 years, because he insisted on it being pronounced Padilla. And that just is such an affront. Anyway, William Arkin, who writes a national security blog in the Washington Post, on the subject of the dirty bomb. Remember, this was the guy who was kept basically... incommunicado for 3 years because the United States had evidence that he was planning to plant dirty bombs, that is to say, radiological dispersal devices, as they're called in the trade. RDDs, don't you know? And that was such a threat that we had to hold him without legal counsel or threat of a trial. Now this week, the Attorney General announced totally unrelated criminal charges, bringing Jose Padilla into the criminal justice system. But William Arkin, as I say, in the Washington Post, writes on the subject of dirty bombs, because apparently there's been some progress in figuring out how easy it is to plant dirty bombs. Verdict? Not. Only about 1,000 domestic radiation devices in universities, hospitals, and laboratories are of concern in an RDD, radiological dispersal device, scenario. The devices, the sources that are the easiest to transport and conceal are the least threatening. The ones that are the most threatening are the most difficult to move, let alone steal. The worst-case scenario run this summer in a study at the Sandia Lab in New Mexico, a source of cobalt-60, in order to shield that source, to make it safe for human handling, for a Jose Padilla type, to take it somewhere, to plant it, would require 1.5 to 2 metric ton lead shield. Help me with this, will you? A consensus has been reached in the RDD threat analysis community, says the Sandia Lab briefing, that the primary consequence of the use of such a device would be the economic and psychological consequence of having to relocate the public away from their homes and places of business until the radioactive contaminated surfaces are cleaned up. Basically, nothing worse than Katrina. We had that. FEMA agrees. Somebody still wants to know what FEMA thinks. If you want to kill a few hundred people, the studies show there are many other less difficult ways to go about it, one of the participants in the study says. Sandia concludes that the basic security needed to safeguard those radiation sources is, quote, not very rigorous, unquote. So they put Padilla in the brig for 3 years and didn't ramp up the security on the stuff that a Padilla type would have to steal to make a dirty bomb, ladies and gentlemen. Now, don't you feel safer? Now, don't you feel more scared? With the first in-depth analysis of the air bubbles trapped in the ice core of East Antarctica, scientists have discovered that today's atmospheric carbon dioxide levels are the highest in 650,000 years. Congratulations, humans. And the drive for green energy in the developed world is having the perverse effect of encouraging the destruction of tropical rainforests, according to New Scientist magazine, from the orangutan reserves in Borneo. Hey, orangs, how you doing? To the Brazilian Amazon, virgin forest is being raised, with a Z, to grow palm oil and soybeans to fuel cars and power stations in Europe and North America. And surging prices are likely to accelerate the destruction. The rush to make energy from vegetable fuels is being... We can't grow vegetables in this country? We have to outsource that? Are you... European Union has laws requiring conventional fuels to be blended with biofuels, biofuels, and by subsidies equivalent to 20 cents, or pence, as they say in Britain, per liter, or quart, as they say here. British government has announced a target for biofuels to make up 5% of transportation fuels by 2010 to help meet the targets for reducing greenhouse gases. So, You can't grow soybeans anywhere else except in the rainforest. Are you serious? All right. I guess you know what you're doing. No, you certainly don't. Ladies and gentlemen, more news. Not necessarily. Well, this is outside the bubble. A second member of Tony Blair's foreign policy inner circle has broken ranks to call the Prime Minister's Iraq War alliance with President Bush a strategic blunder with damaging consequences for Britain. The Prime Minister's foreign top advisor on Europe and a former ambassador to the European Union worked at the heart of Downing Street. Downing Street has a heart. This just in. Before and during the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. Recently retired, Sir Stephen Wall delivered this week a powerful critique of the decision to join the war and to cut short the diplomatic process at the UN. Blair and Downing Street did not have to choose that path and did not foresee the degree to which those actions would shatter relationships inside Europe with, quote, hugely damaging consequences that linger to this day, Sir Stephen told the Daily Telegraph. The Bush administration had no appreciation of the damage being done to their ally, Blair, nor did the Bush administration greatly care, he says, as their vision was fixed on regime change in Baghdad. I doubt whether they appreciated the extent to which this was causing a split in Europe, that this was causing a problem for Britain, he said. We all know, I think the mainstream media are covering the story of former Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi saying human rights abuses in Iraq are now as bad as they were under Saddam Hussein and even in danger of eclipsing his record. This is an interview he gave to the British newspaper, The Observer, this weekend. In a damning and wide-ranging indictment of Iraq's escalating human rights situation, Alawi accused fellow Shias in the government of being responsible for death squads and secret torture centers. The brutality in the elements in the new security forces rivals that of Saddam's secret police, he said. Alawi was a strong ally of the U.S.-led coalition forces and was prime minister until this April. He was a longtime asset, as they call them, of the Central Intelligence Agency, ladies and gentlemen. Dateline Tehran, the Iranian president, emerged from meetings with his Iraqi counterpart this week, saying the two countries have, quote, one soul in two bodies, unquote. Guess who won this war? Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Would you please put on your Ahmadinejad before you come into the restaurant? Because we have a dress code. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said the United States, which has nearly 160,000 troops in Iraq, want to block better ties between the two Shiite Muslim-dominated nations. Iran completely supports freedom for the Iraqi people, the current political developments, and national sovereignty, Ahmadinejad says. A democratic, independent, and developed Iraq will become Iran's best friend. Iran will stand by the Iraqi people, he said. President Talabani of Iraq said, I've come to Tehran to deepen our strategic relations. I'm sure the Iranian side will provide us with the necessary help to uproot terrorism in Iraq, Talabani, president of Iraq, said. Who won the Iraq war, ladies and gentlemen? Iran.
We should.
Oh, I don't think we want to do that. All right. We do not want to do that, so what we will do is this. The apologies of the week.
Now's the time. We're so sorry.
Yes, we are. Dateline Rome, Italy's health minister Francesco Storace said he had received an apology from Nestle related to its supply of contaminated baby milk, but still planned to sue the CEO of the world's largest food group. Yes, Chief Executive Peter Brabeck said the Italian health ministry knew about a problem, about a deal with the European Union to resolve the problem of contaminated baby milk before it came to wider attention. Brabeck said he had never stated that there had been an agreement.
Yeah.
Still an apology. Brian Barker's halftime warm-up last Sunday prompted boos from the crowd at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis, and the angry reaction had nothing to do with the quality of his kicks. Bands and color guards representing the various armed forces, part of the St. Louis Rams' annual Veterans Day salute, were still performing when 41-year-old Barker walked onto the field and began punting over their heads. The team received a number of complaining phone calls and emails. Barker now says, quote, I apologize to anyone who was offended by my actions Sunday. It was not my intention to be disrespectful to our military personnel. We have a short time prepare for the second half, and I was only following my regular routine. That's always a good excuse, ladies and gentlemen. Dateline New York, the Standard Times of New Bedford, Mass. Has apologized to a Boston sportscaster for running a Get Fuzzy comic strip that implied he was drunk on the air. Sportscaster Bob Lobel had sued the Massachusetts-based cartoonist Darby Conley and Get Fuzzy syndicator United Media after the strip appeared in May. The suit was settled last week. Officials in the northeastern Chinese city of Harbin have confirmed they cut water supplies to the city's 9 million residents and businesses for the next 4 days as a toxic stretch of water reached Harbin. Where's the apology? It's too far down in the story for me to find it. is what it is. Oh, sorry. The Communist Party head of the plant's owner, PetroChina Company, apologized this week to Harbin citizens for the contamination of the Songhua River and offered 60 water tankers to Harbin to help ship water into the city. When someone called to complain about the drudge-fueled controversy over an X over Vice President Cheney's face for 1/15th of a second, a Turner staffer told the caller to tell Bush and Cheney to stop lying. The staffer has been fired. Quote, a Turner switchboard operator was fired after we were alerted to conversation the operator had with a caller, in which the operator lost his temper and expressed his personal views, behavior that was totally appropriate, said a spokeswoman. His comments did not reflect the views of CNN. We are apologizing to the caller that she did not get the courtesy entitled to her. The courtesy entitled to her, says a spokeswoman at a company in the communications business. Ladies and gentlemen. Dateline Topeka, Kansas. A trip to a Subway sandwich store in Oregon left one Kansas resident with a case of indigestion. It wasn't the food. It was the sign Joe Davis of Topeka saw on October 2nd when he was paying for his order at the Subway in Reedsport, Oregon. The sign, which was promoting a new salmon sandwich, included the line, quote, another reason you're lucky not to live in Kansas. I was a little offended, he said. The sign appeared to be professionally produced and carried the Subway logo, Davis said. He emailed Subway to ask for an explanation. Davis said he never got a response from Subway, but Subway spokesman Kevin Kane said the sign apparently wasn't produced by the corporation's national advertising firm, but may have been created by a regional company. We're going to look into it, he said. Sometimes when you put something like that together, you try to get clever, but nothing we do should be offensive. If it offended anybody, I apologize. And now he's not even talking about the food. An Australian model convicted of drug possession in Indonesia apologized this week for offending the Muslim community by wearing a traditional Islamic dress during her court ordeal, breaking her silence at a tearful press conference. Catwalk and underwear model Michelle Leslie rejected suggestions that she had staged a sham conversion to Islam in order to gain sympathy from Indonesian judges in Bali. During her trial, she wore a burqa. That would make me sympathetic to her. Only to emerge on her release after 3 months in jail wearing a tight-fitting singlet, which exposed her midriff. As for the hurtful allegations that I pretended to be a Muslim, let me say, first of all, it was never my intention to offend anyone in the Muslim community. I am a Muslim, and I do understand the significance of wearing a burqa. I should have thought more carefully about wearing it in that situation, and I apologize for any offense I have caused. It was an extreme situation. So, a Muslim model can wear a midriff-bearing singlet, apparently. A South Korean cloning pioneer accused of ethics violations apologized publicly this week, acknowledging that two junior scientists working for him voluntarily donated their own eggs for research. Hwang Woo-suk, a trained veterinarian, gained worldwide attention after announcing last year that his team had cloned the world's first human embryos and extracted stem cells from them. Since then, rumors have swirled that some of the eggs used in the experiment were donated by subordinate scientists in Hwang's lab. Scientists have said that collecting eggs from an employee is unethical because of the potential for subordinates to feel coerced. You know, nobody feels coerced by their boss, do they? That must be Korean stuff. And Ohio Republican Jean Schmidt apologized this week for her sharp comments about a fellow congressman's call to immediately pull troops from Iraq. Schmidt was booed off the House floor last week after she criticized Representative John Murtha, Democrat of Pennsylvania, saying that, quote, cowards cut and run, Marines never do. When Schmidt made the comment, Democrats rose in protest. Murtha is a decorated Vietnam veteran and the ranking Democrat on the House Appropriations Committee. Schmidt said the comment came from a conversation she'd had with a state representative. He had denied making that comment. But she now has apologized, ladies and gentlemen. The apologies of the week. It is a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Yes, I'm improvising because I can't trust that CD machine. So, ladies and gentlemen, apropos of Representative Murtha, who did call for the immediate withdrawal of American troops from Iraq, saying in his initial remarks, we can't do any more. We can't make it any better. We can only make it worse. The former president of the United States, Bill Clinton, went to Dubai addressing a group of students. He said the Iraq war was a, quote, big mistake. His criticism, however, was focused on the conduct of the war, not on its original premise. Quote, we never sent enough troops and didn't have enough troops to control or seal the borders, unquote. Meanwhile, as they say in the news, Senator Hillary Clinton, speaking in Westchester, New York, said immediate withdrawal of U.S. troops, as proposed by Representative Murtha, would be a, quote, big mistake. Sounds like another episode of Clinton Something, next here on the show.
Clinton Something, the Harlem Years.
Tell you, Carvel.
Mm-hmm.
James Earl Carter uttered one true sentence in his life.
It didn't have the word malaise in it, did it?
No, it did not. He said somewhere that being ex-president beat the hell out of being president. Of course, I don't think Preacher Jim said hell.
No, probably said stuffing.
If that. Mm. But man, it's all the perks. And none of the jerks.
Oh, I hear that. So you were in Dubai, yeah?
Yeah. Just before Thanksgiving in Chappaqua.
Mm-hmm.
Man, a turkey really must have hammered Hillary in an earlier life, because she's sure getting back at him now, burning one every year.
I was in Tel Aviv working with Mr. Sharon on his new centrist party.
Yeah, ain't that a bitch. Mm. What are you doing, strategic stuff?
Yeah, probably down the road. Mm-hmm. This trip was just to lay down some basics.
Like?
Like, don't use Dick Morris as his pollster.
I heard that. Man, I'm amazed I didn't notice his big old mouth twitch when he was working for me.
There were some things about you he didn't notice when he was working for you, too.
I guess so. Man, your missus got out of the advising Dick Cheney business just in time.
You're telling me. Mary had been around there much longer, she'd have ended up in charge of baking the files into cakes. But you know, sir, maybe Hillary wasn't punishing the turkey. You know, maybe she was angry at a certain ex-president.
Wait, let me see. Does this day end in a Y? Yeah, you could be right. What do you think got her Levi's and a bunch this time?
Mr. President, you don't gotta be coy with me. You know me. I'm the one thing in Louisiana that got cleaned up by Katrina. Your missus is pissed at you for telling those students in Dubai that the Iraq deal was a big mistake.
Oh, hey, listen, man. I think one thing I mastered during my 8 years was finding the center of the Democratic Party. I mean, sometimes I had to manufacture a center, but I focused on it like a laser beam. And when big old John Murtha gets to the left of me on the war, laser beam tells me I gotta get my feet moving.
Yeah, well, pardon me for taking the Dr. Phil role here, but maybe you should have just kind of run that by Hillary first. She does have a little thing called her political career going on.
James, you've been in Israel too long. You're smarter than that. Nothing helps Hill more than being to the right of me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to be concentrating on all that today. I want to be concentrating on why these guys can't make a first down to save their frig...
Let me mute the TV for you there.
Hello.
Bill?
Hey, Hill.
You in the office on the weekend?
Well, I wanted to watch some games, smoke some cigars. I thought...
You thought? Excuse me, I thought you said you thought. Because if I, for one moment, I thought that you thought, you know, I'd be a much happier person. If I thought that you thought before you said something like going into Iraq was a big mistake, I'd be happier than Eleanor Roosevelt at a hat sale.
Listen, Hill.
No, you listen, Mr. Fly off to the Middle East to undermine my tough on defense stance. You don't think I'd like to be the one saying Iraq was a big mistake? Me, who was thinking about universal health care while you were still focusing on whether Susan McDougal was going to blab? You don't think it would give me actual pleasure to be saying something that my supporters think I believe?
Hill, James is here. We're trying to get a little...
What is it, the National Enablers Association and Convention down there? Look, Bill, I thought your thoughtlessly self-indulgent period ended when you left the White House. Apparently I was mistaken. Next time you want to break ranks with the member of our family who's still making a living at politics, please let her know.
I did, in a way, hon.
Oh.
I saw a little handwritten memo on your side of the bed when I was borrowing the Ambien the other night, and it said, Iraq, big mistake. So I just riffed on that and thought I'd be out there taking 8 bars of what you were doing.
Bill, that was a note to myself about my statement that leaving Iraq precipitously would be a big mistake.
It was.
Yes, it was. Apparently, you were in a little too much of a hurry to get the Ambien to read the whole thing.
Well, look, Hill, I think we're kind of golden this way.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, no matter which direction Iraq goes in the next year, we're going to be on record with the right opinion. That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Well...
Come on now. You know it's working for Bush and Cheney on big old John Murtha. It's going to work for us.
I suppose you're right. All right, Bill. I'll see you when I see you.
Ah, I won't be as late as usual.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You unbunch those Levi's?
Carville, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Unmute that sucker.
Youthful angst and middle-aged powerlessness. Together, they add up to Clinton something.
If our souls put in the water for the healing of each other, be saved and sanctified, freed from sin to where freedom lies. Fly away over land because we can, because we can. Thank you.
promising to where freedom lies, to fly away from the land, because we can, because we can.
This is Le Show. And ladies and gentlemen, did I point out, I don't listen to the show while I'm doing it. Well, I do listen to it while I'm doing it, but I don't go back and listen to parts to, because I can't. I could, but I don't. Anyway, did I mention that the Army Corps of Engineers inspectors who inspect the levees were revealed this week in the local newspaper to have not inspected the flood wall that breached, because they said that, well, we knew that was good. And besides, they had to make their inspections short enough so they could make it to lunch. Mention that? That's good inspecting. Well, we didn't inspect that because we knew it was good. That's the best reason to... Dateline Washington, widely recognized as a military hawk, President Richard Nixon fretted privately over the notion of any no-holds-barred nuclear war. This according to newly released documents from his time at the White House. Visions of such an all-out nuclear war were unpalatable to Nixon from the first days of his presidency. Recently declassified papers show that Nixon wanted an alternative to the option of full-scale nuclear war and a plan for a war that could ultimately vanquish the Soviet Union while still avoiding the worst-case scenario of nuke death. The White House papers provide a glimpse behind the scenes at efforts to find choices other than the horror option, as National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger called scenarios for all-out atomic war. The horror option, not the whore option. That was another option Henry was debating from time to time. Qualms about causing so much death were hardly the only motivation. U.S. officials worried their nuclear threat lacked credibility because it was so awful that adversaries questioned whether the United States would ever use it. There was an exercise one day aboard the Boeing 707 outfitted to conduct nuclear warfare from the air. It was pretty scary, then Chief of Staff H.R. Haldeman wrote. Nixon asked many questions, his aide said, adding that his boss, quote, obviously worries about the likely tossed about millions of deaths. That the latest in the news from Nixon, of course, there is a new, coincidentally, oddly enough, a new tape that's just arrived here from Nixon in heaven.
So, you saw that the nuclear war discussions have been made public.
Yep. Well, of course, it was inevitable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we classified and we classified.
Oh, yeah.
And you just knew that one of these days the Jews were going to make it all public.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Jews do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to keep a secret.
Yeah.
You remember.
Sure.
I used to say this when I was alive.
Yeah.
If you want to keep a secret, don't tell a Jew.
Don't tell a Jew. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
It's
in the public domain now.
Of course.
And, question is, what do we do to, do we make any response at all, or do we just,
No. Mm-hmm. You see, that just feeds them.
Yeah.
It just feeds the people who put this out to respond.
Yeah.
It goes away. You just let it die.
Yeah.
See, keeping it alive doesn't help anybody but the leakers.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
But tragedy is that, it makes us look weak.
Mm-hmm.
Makes us look like puss balls.
No, well, I think everybody knows you weren't a puss ball.
See, Draymond Haldeman. everybody who remembers.
Yeah.
But that's not where the numbers are these days. You see, it's the kids,
uh-huh.
It's the hipsters, and they don't remember. They say this and they think, oh, that Nixon,
uh-huh.
He's a weak sister.
Yeah. Well,
and
I mean, we could. It was in the New York Times, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We could.
Of course.
Write a letter to the editor. I don't know who would sign it. It would be probably from. We'd have to get somebody down there.
Oh yeah. But
you know, Ed Cox or David Eisenhower, or one of the girls.
No. You say, Trisha. You don't want somebody who's so closely associated with me to be doing, to be carrying my water at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You see right through that. You see, that's what they do. That's exactly what they do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you'd want, you know, ideally you'd want Kissinger, of course.
Sure.
Because he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that I had a spine of steel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew that.
Yeah.
Because he came up against it. You know,
oh,
Henry did.
Yeah.
He knew. But he's got his own thing.
Yeah.
And he's got his own reputation to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's not going to.
No.
Sign any such thing. But I don't think we should do that, you see.
No.
I think we should go. I mean, we had that plan for firebombing Brookings.
Well.
Why don't we just take that off the shelf?
Mm-hmm.
New York Times, not that different from Brookings.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that really sends the right message.
Well, you can't send a writer message. I mean, what, you know, a pushball wouldn't be doing this. A pushball wouldn't be bombing the New York Times,
no,
you see.
No,
there's your message right there.
Well, so, yes. I just think that, you know, already history is making its judgment. And no reputable historian is going to come down on the side of you being a pushball. I mean, Cambodia alone.
No, I know. I know. Bombing alone. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, sitting there in these papers,
mm-hmm.
Worrying about nuclear war.
No, I know.
It looks soft.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
Yeah.
It's just worrying about deaths and individual persons.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's,
No.
Why would we want to be taking that profile?
Well,
for history,
yeah,
you see,
sir.
I
just think that there's so much on the other side that it's almost silly to be worrying about that.
Well,
I say that with all respect.
Maybe.
It's just if we don't firebomb the New York Times,
here's another way to go.
Mm.
Equally strong,
mm-hmm.
kind of more around the other side, more around the other side of the barn,
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this comes out of our library, you see.
Yeah.
So why don't we firebomb our library? We're the last people they'll suspect.
No, I know.
And it's tough.
Yeah. No, it is. It is tough.
See? I mean, a pushball wouldn't bomb his own library.
No.
See? But, of course.
We could just let it sit for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe the story dies, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it does. Maybe the Jews let it die.
Sure.
But if they don't.
No, I we'll have the plan on the back burner.
Yep.
And
you know, the Cubans, the ones who are still living, they're always so impressed when we call them from here.
Yeah.
See?
One of the advantages.
Yep.
All right. I'll get on it.
All right. Don't want to be remembered as a pushball now.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, just some late-breaking Los Angeles dog trainer corrections for your listening pleasure. An item in Thursday's weekend section referred to George McGovern as a former senator from North Dakota. McGovern represented South Dakota. Hey, there's a 50% chance you'll get the right Dakota if you just... A television review in the calendar section credited Irwin Allen with producing a number of 1970s disaster films, including Airport, The Poseidon Adventure, The Towering Inferno, and Earthquake. Allen did not produce Airport or Earthquake. A map in Tuesday Section A that accompanied an article about General Motors plant closures mislabeled Illinois as Missouri. And finally, an article in Thursday's calendar weekend section about the week's top album sellers referred to Madonna's latest album, American Life, as American Girl. Yes, I know. Who cares? Really? Who cares generally? Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz. Available at channel 136 at Sirius Satellite Radio as a free download at www.audible.com/LeShow, available as a free podcast from KCRW.com, and still, after all this, not available on the air in New Orleans. And it would be just like being on the air in New Orleans if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. A tip of the Le Show chapeau to the San Diego and Pittsburgh desks. Le Show playlists available at harryshearer.com. Sign up for irregularly scheduled but very easy on your computer newsletters from this broadcast. Just go to harryshearer.com. There's a place to sign up. There's even a place to unsign up, I think. To find out when the show is streamed over public radio stations anywhere in the country, go to www.publicradiofan.com. And a very special tip of the Le Show chapeau to Bob Dunn at WWL-TV here in the French Quarter for keeping his head above water at all times. You look good with water wings. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. So long from New Orleans.